Today is the Feast of the Epiphany, which marks for us Western Christians that the season of Christmas has come to an end, although for most of our Christian siblings in Eastern Orthodox churches, tonight will herald the beginning of their Christmas celebrations. And before anyone sends me an email, yes, I know that St. George Orthodox Church across from Claiborne's Cafeteria, you know that place? They celebrate Christmas when we do. I know that. That's because they don't use the old calendar that's 13 days off. They use the so-called new calendar that we've been using for centuries, so they're a little bit different. But for us, in our tradition, over the coming weeks, we will see glimpses in our readings of who Jesus is, the Jesus that was born in a stable and laid in a manger. And the Holy Gospel for this morning describes the visitation of the Magi to worship the Christ child. And the story of Christmas just wouldn't be the same without this bookend to it, this tale of strangers who in our imaginations are usually either called wise men or even more often kings in our imaginations. Epiphany means manifestation, and in the stories of Epiphany, God manifests or reveals himself to us in the life of Jesus Christ. The visitation of the Magi is described in old Anglican prayer books as the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. These strangers did not belong to God's holy people. They were not Jewish. They were outsiders. They were people like you and me. And yet they were brought near to God by God himself. And they brought gifts, offering above all the gift of themselves in adoration. Now, I don't know how many of you here today have ever been in a Christmas pageant, but I've been in lots of them ever since kindergarten. And now, a lot of you know this, if you're younger, you know this, that these days we have equal opportunity among the boys and the girls, right? So boys can be angels these days and girls can be shepherds. But when I was growing up, boys were either shepherds or kings, right? Somebody got to be Joseph, that's true, but all the rest of us were either shepherds or kings. Here's the problem. There are only three kings. And I know, before you send me an email, I know the Bible doesn't say they were kings, and the Bible doesn't say there were three of them, but every Christmas pageant I've ever seen with my own eyes only has three kings. All right? And they bring their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I don't know about you, but I was never a king. Never. My Christmas pageant career went downhill after my debut as Joseph in a Baptist kindergarten, and then after that, at my home church, I was always a shepherd, which meant wearing some burlap outfit with a towel around my head and a stick in my hand. And I will tell you the truth, this typecasting has followed me ever since then. This afternoon, over in St. Bede's Chapel at 4 p.m., I'll be participating in Palmer's presentation of the one-act opera called Amahl and the Night Visitors. I hope you'll come back for that. And although it does feature the Magi, you will find me, predictably, over in the Shepherd's Chorus. And that's where I will be. Now, my best friend in childhood, my best childhood friend, he was always a king. Which meant wearing a glorious purple robe with a crown on his head and a precious gift in his hands. And in the church that I grew up in, the crowns and the gifts of the three kings were made by my great aunt, Susie May Hooser. And she had adorned these crowns and gifts with her old fake jewelry so that they were literally dripping with pearls and gold and glittery things, and they kind of tinkled as you walked down the aisle with them. And when the three kings would appear in the back of the dimly lit parish hall, there was always this eerie silence and a real sense of mystery about these strangers from the east. And there was a sense of awe in the room. Now that's where the real action is, I would think to myself. Not over here with the sheep and the cows, but over there with the crowns and the gifts. And they're probably going to ditch their camels with us over here, and we're going to hold the reins of the camels while everybody's paying attention to the kings. Now think about that. Whether we're children or youth or adults, all of us can relate to feeling like that at some point in our life. Misplaced feelings about where the real action is. It's always someone else who seems to have the interesting relationship or the perfect marriage. It's always someone else who seems to have the most well-behaved children or the best family life. It's always someone else who seems to have the charming personality or the glamorous career. This is your daughter who didn't get into Harvard. This is your son who moved to Alaska in order to get away and who stayed away ever since. Your best friend's son is a respectable lawyer in Atlanta. He flies home at all the right times of the year. This is your house that's a wreck compared to the Joneses next door. This is about the fact that maybe like me, you once lived in Colonial Williamsburg, but your old college roommate lives in Colonial Bermuda because that's where the real action is, somewhere else. And so you kind of wonder, you know, where does God fit into all that? Why am I missing out? Why can't I be over there? And there are millions of people on this earth, of course, who look at your life the same way and they say, why can't I be over there where the real action is? Well, if you think back to the Christmas pageant, the thoughts I had about where the real action is were way off the mark. And that's because Christmas pageants are never about the Magi with their fancy crowns and expensive gifts. Christmas pageants are always about the birth of Jesus and the people who are called to witness to this miracle of God in history. We're to be witnesses to that. The great scandal of Christianity is the fact that God is to be found where you least expect God. And that's true not only out in the world, that's true in your life, in the life you're living right now. Angels appeared to the Jewish shepherds who had little money and as part of their job description slept outdoors. They heard the message and ran with haste to find the babe lying in a manger. And much later, perhaps a few years later, something led the Magi, wealthy Gentiles from the nations of the earth, who carried precious gifts across hundreds of miles. And interestingly, it's easy to miss this, the Magi were mistaken, right? Because they thought Jerusalem is where the real action was taking place. And they finally got pointed in the right direction, and when they did, they were overwhelmed with joy. And when they had found the Christ child, Matthew's gospel tells us, they fell down and worshiped him. The real action is found in the birth of Jesus and in the work of God in the lives of shepherds and magi, Jews and Gentiles, poor and rich, young and old, people like you and me. It's not over in all those other places where you're looking. And if you insist that it is, then you'll wonder why you can't get there, and you'll wonder where God is in your life. And you won't hear the message of the angels proclaiming good news, and you won't look up to see where God is leading you. You'll be looking in all the wrong places. You'll be looking in every luxury hotel in Bethlehem and walk right past the stable out back. The truth is that the real action is the leading of God in your life now. And God isn't leading you over there to live someone else's life. God's leading you to himself and giving you the grace to live your life. And whether you're a shepherd or a king, whether you're a teenager like Mary or a stepfather like Joseph, whether you excelled in books or baseball or none of the above, you have something to offer. You can offer yourself in worship and adoration. You can offer your time to works of mercy and compassion. You can offer your gifts of resources and skills and wisdom. And the good news is that you don't have to travel to another country in order to do these things. You can start right now, right here. Offer yourself to God in worship and adoration. Hear the story of salvation. Come to this holy table and know that by grace you have been made a part of God's holy people. Don't seek to be a king. Seek instead to be someone on a pilgrimage in pursuit of wisdom. Acknowledge Christ as Lord, and you will become a wise man, a wise woman, a wise teenager, a child of God. As we sang just a moment ago, born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never over us all to reign. This I believe. Amen.